Well, I want to start today off by saying thank you to all of you who sent me pictures and descriptions of oranges this past week. I'm not sure I was expecting it, but I am grateful and glad that you all enjoyed Sumo Citrus as much as I do. So, for as long as I can remember, or perhaps for as long as they have existed, I have loved competition reality TV. I know, yes. I have loved, now not all reality TV is equal, and some might say that it's not even reality, and I understand those arguments, but I would fit into the niche of things like a Survivor or The Amazing Race, right? These are things that I have always wanted to do, things that I've been drawn to. I love competition, I love sports, and perhaps that's why I love these TV shows. And there's one show that I find particularly interesting. One show that I've always wondered about, but know that there is no way I would do well on this show. This show is called Alone. It is a show where contestants are sent out into the wilderness, think northern Canada or some sort of other remote place in the world, and they have just themselves a few tools that they can pick from, but just a couple. There's no camera crew, so they're sent with cameras. They have to film themselves, and the competition is to see who can last the longest. Who can outlast the other people by just being alone in the wilderness. Now, as you can imagine, some people drop out because of a sickness or injury. They like twist their ankle or something like that, and they can't go on, and so they call people, and they come and rescue them. But many people, in fact, the majority of the contestants that drop out because they can't handle being alone, because they miss people, because they need connection, because they feel isolated or afraid. And so they drop out. And so it's not worth to continue to get the prize money or to win the competition for the sake of just not being alone. And I think that's why I would do quite poorly at that show. So as John mentioned, we are in the middle of our series called From Here to There. And today we're looking at when God is silent, or when we feel alone. When God is silent, it can feel like abandonment. It can feel like we're alone. Sometimes silence feels like apathy. Like maybe God doesn't actually care like I've been told he cares. Maybe he doesn't care about our deepest desires, our most foundational needs. Maybe God doesn't care about your intensely personal prayer that you only hold on to in your heart. The silence of God can feel like no. The silence of God feels like the one person who can heal your sick spouse, or care for your needs, or provide the companionship that you have been longing for. The one person you have put your hope in is standing to the side and choosing not to act. You see, if God answered our prayers, if God showed up and he said, no, you can't have that thing, and we heard that and we knew that, that would be difficult for sure. We wouldn't like that. But at least there would be an answer, a connection that we can hold on to, a relationship that we can work through and continue to build on. But when it feels like God is silent, we don't have that. It feels like that relationship doesn't exist. And I think there are seasons in life that feel like this for all of us. whatever the circumstances, whatever the reasons, I think we all, at times in our life, feel the silence of God. Christian theologians that have shaped Christendom over the centuries have also experienced this silence. And we read about it again and again. People that you would know. Martin Luther, he called it Deus absconditus, the God who is hidden. Ignatius of Loyola referenced it as desolation in our life. Perhaps most famously, St. John of the Cross called it the dark night of the soul. George Fox described it by saying, when it was day and I wished for night, and when it was night and I wished for day. Jean-Pierre de Casseaux called it the dark night of faith. Modern author Richard Foster wrote books like The Celebration of Discipline or a book on prayer, called it the forsaken time in his life. All of these people that I've referenced are from different faith traditions. They're from different backgrounds, and yet they all describe the same thing. This idea of God not answering them. Of God, in a sense, disappearing in their life. We see this throughout Scripture as well, all throughout Scripture. Psalm 13, 1-2, it says, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? Psalm 44 says, awake, Lord, why do you sleep? Rouse yourself. Do not reject us forever. Why do you hide your face? There's about 50 of these psalms, psalms of lament, about a third of the whole book talks like this. In Job, we see him say, but if I go to the east, he is not there. I do not find him. Where are you, God? Isaiah 45, truly you are a God who has been hiding himself. In Habakkuk, how long, Lord, must I call for help? But you do not listen. Has this ever been the prayer of your heart? There are other stories in the New Testament, where the disciples of Jesus experience his abandonment as well. The disciples who walked with him. So let's turn there together now. If you have your Bibles, in Acts 12. Starting at verse 4. After arresting him, that's Peter, King Herod just arrested Peter, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Peter is being guarded. Kid goes on. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. I love that. He struck him on the side. Sounds like a sleep I have. Quick, get up, the angel says. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. It goes on where the angel leads him through the prison and down the street, and suddenly the angel leaves him. And starting in verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. I love this story. This is a story you've probably heard before. Peter is arrested for preaching the good news. He's about to be executed, and then an angel shows up and the chains fell off. And he walks through the prison, past the guards, into his freedom. There's no obvious way out, but the church is praying. Peter walks out of prison to his freedom. And I love this. When Peter's down the road, it says it finally clicks. It clicks for him. He realizes what has happened. Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me. And once rescued, he goes to where he knows to go, to his people, to the other disciples of Jesus, where they have been gathering. And what are they doing? What are the people of Jesus doing? They're praying. It's the kind of story we love. It's a story I love. There's mystery. There's unknown. Angels show up and they disappear. There's an escape from prison. God shows up and the prayer is clearly answered. And I think if we're honest, it's the type of story that we sometimes expect to read. As followers of Jesus, as disciples of him, sometimes I think we can believe or think that this is the story that should that we should expect or that we should experience in our life. Perhaps we're caught up in something. Perhaps something has happened. We pray or we gather people to pray and it gets fixed. There's a solution. I know I have thought that in the past. And if this were the whole story, that would feel great. Everything is straightforward, wrapped up in a tidy bow, but actually, there's more to the story. There's more that's going on here. Let's go back and look at verses 1 to 3 of chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with the approval among some of the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. And then it goes on when it describes the story that we had just read about Peter, arresting Peter. So here, right before Peter is freed, James is executed. James, another one of Jesus' closest disciples, he is arrested. And just like that, in one verse, it's over. There's no miracle. There's no escape. No angel. Just silence. James, one of the disciples that walked with Jesus on the dirt roads of his ministry, gone. The text doesn't explain it. It doesn't say, here is why this has happened. It simply tells us that James was executed and Peter was rescued. Same God, same time, same church, same prayers. Two entirely different outcomes. And what I find incredible about this story is that even when God is silent, even when God doesn't answer the way those believers hoped he would, after James is killed, surely they are discouraged and confused. The church is still praying. The people are still gathering, and they haven't yet given up. You see, sometimes God comes out of that silence to answer us, but because we are discouraged or disappointed, maybe God doesn't answer the way that we had hoped, or he doesn't show up the way we expect. We miss what he is trying to say. Like those gathered almost didn't let Peter in because they were so astonished. After verse 12, it says, Peter knocked on the entrance of these believers. When he was freed by the angel, he knocked on the door. And they were astonished. They heard his voice and ran away. And they said, I think Peter's here. And then finally they realized, oh, but we haven't let him in. They forgot about that part. Sometimes we can blame ourselves when we are in these seasons of silence. And I want to remind us here this morning that when we are in this season of our lives, that God has not abandoned you, that you are not being punished, that God, it does not mean that God is displeased, and it does not mean that he won't speak again. That is not what it means to be in these seasons of silence. When we feel isolated and alone and confused. So then how do we respond to silence? What do we do when we're living in that space? How do we keep going? How do we not be discouraged and give up like those disciples of Jesus after James was executed? Well, I think one way to do that, we read a story that Jesus tells us in Luke 18. It's not a formula. There is no formula to this. Jesus tells this story about a widow who keeps coming back again and again, refusing to give up. Will you read with me? Luke 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is a story about a widow. You see, in this time when this was written, women's testimony wasn't admissible in court. It didn't matter what women said, and widows were the lowest of that class. They had even less rights. And yet this story is about a persistent widow who comes again and again and again and doesn't give up. And that's the first thing that we see in this story. The first way to respond to silence. With persistence. We need to keep showing up. We see in this story that the widow keeps coming back again and again and again. Not because the judge is good. No, it's really clear that the judge is not good. But because she refuses to stop. She refuses to stop. And Jesus says, how much more will a good God respond? You see, persistence isn't about wearing God down. It's about staying connected. Jesus says this again in Matthew 7:7. He says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Ask, seek, knock. What those words actually mean are keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. It's written in both present and future tense. Do it now in this moment and do it again in the future and continue to do it again and again and again. That's what Jesus is saying here. That's what he's describing with this persistent widow. She does not give up. We need to be persistent. The other thing that I think we can learn from this is perseverance, that we need to keep holding on. If persistence is what we do, perseverance is what keeps you there. It's what holds you steady when you feel nothing, or you're tired, or you're tempted to quit. Perseverance is staying when it would be easier to walk away. It's the widow that kept going back to the judge. It's the keep on part of ask, seek, and knock. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on knocking. Or perhaps it's the group of friends that you lean on when you feel like you've had enough. It's the people that you are honest with and vulnerable to explain the silence that you feel. Thirdly, we need to petition. We need to speak honestly to God. You see, persistence doesn't mean pretending. Perseverance doesn't mean not being real. We talked about this earlier throughout the book of Psalms. All of these Psalms of lament, we read portions of them. We see this type of prayer. It's raw. It's honest. It's unfiltered. It sounds like, God, where are you? Why does this feel so quiet? How long is this going to last? It's the cries of our heart reaching forth. Experiencing the silence of God reminds us of what matters. But often, as a result of that, doubt can creep in. You see, when we experience the silence of God, it can focus us. Everything else falls away. All of the accomplishments or the praise or accolades, they don't seem to matter anymore when what we're longing for isn't being met. But also, this doubt can creep in, this uncertainty. Is God real? Do I actually have enough faith? Maybe I've got something wrong. Maybe all those sermons I've heard for years and years and years aren't true. And this morning, I just want to remind you that it's only when we have tasted the sweetest fruit that we know what bland is. It's only when we truly know and have experienced Jesus and his goodness and his love in our life do we know what it feels like when we don't. And so I say to you, keep going. Do not give up. And so speak honestly. Cry out. Don't be afraid to be vulnerable when it matters. And fourthly, I would say perspective, that we need to remember who God is. In Luke 18, Jesus contrasts his disciples with the widow. But he says, I am not like that judge. I am a good and just God, which means God is not ignoring you, no matter how it feels. That God is not indifferent. He's not apathetic to how you feel. God is not distant in the way that it feels like he is. You see, silence is not the whole story. We read again and again and again who God is, and we need to interpret that silence that we feel through who God has revealed himself to be. That he is faithful, that he is present with us, that he is near in our darkest times, that he holds us in our arms, in his arms. even if we don't feel like these things are true, even when doubt creeps in. If Jesus says that even a widow, one of the lowest in society at that time, how much more will he act for us? These aren't the only stories where we read about the silence of God being referenced in the scripture. When I read about those church theologians, those church fathers, those psalms about God being silent and abandoning them, well, they weren't the only ones. You see, Jesus had a similar experience. Author Tyler Stanton puts it this way. He writes, Jesus' Gethsemane prayer wasn't answered in the manner that he prayed it. The cup of suffering wasn't taken from him. The one born without the help of biology, who moved across a lake like it was a dance floor, who fed the masses with a boy's tuna sandwich, who used dirt and spit to cure blindness, who sent demons running with their tails tucked, who breathed life into corpses with a single command, also endured the silence of God. Unanswered prayer stalks Jesus' final 24 hours. Unanswered prayer stalks Jesus' last 24 hours. We see Jesus experiencing this when he hangs on the cross and he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you left me? Why have you abandoned me? This is what Jesus has felt. And we know, as we read these stories, that God hasn't abandoned Jesus. That he didn't abandon those disciples in prison, no matter the outcome. And how much more true is it for us today that he has not abandoned us, even when it feels like we live in the silence of God. And so this morning, I want to encourage you. I want to let you know to keep going, to persevere, to be persistent, to be honest with how you're feeling, to remember who God is, because when we continue to open our pain and disappointment to Jesus, when we go back to him again and again and again, we discover not a cold and distant being, but rather a God willing to enter the dark with us, a God weeping in the garden, a Savior hanging on the cross for our sake. You see, silence is not the end of your story. God may feel quiet, but he is not absent. God may feel quiet, but he is not absent. Will you pray with me? Jesus, we come to you this morning as we are. And some of us, God, are feeling alone. We're feeling abandoned. We're feeling uncertain about what you're saying to us. And we're asking, why can't we hear you more? And Jesus, I just pray this morning that you would continue to give us the strength to not give up, to persevere, to be persistent. And Jesus, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to us in a way that we can finally hear your voice. Even if it's unexpected or if it's unknown, God, will you reveal yourself to us? And when we can't hear you, would you help us keep going? In your name we pray. Amen.